Well, good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It is good to be here this morning. Beautiful Mother's Day morning to get together and to worship. I've also been inspired by being here this morning. The songs and Sunday schools stimulated my mind, and I'm sure it did yours as well. I do welcome you to this part of our service, and I look forward to looking into God's Word together today. I'm thankful that this book has answers and encouragement for where we find ourselves in life. And this morning, I want to encourage mothers especially. And while it's maybe a little bit difficult to turn to a passage of Scripture and just verse by verse pull out a message, there is examples of godly women in the Bible, and we're going to look at that this morning, that we can learn from and find encouragement from. It is also a little challenging to bring a message about something that I've never experienced, but I'm able to observe. So, to think about the mothers that have influenced my life, obviously my mother caring for me and instructing me and teaching me and praying for me greatly influenced my life. And of course, my wife, watching her relate to our children has been a blessing to me. And I think about my mother-in-law who taught her and how much that has influenced our home. And I think about those godly mothers that have influenced how I perceive motherhood, and I thank God and praise God for them this morning. It would be very hard to overemphasize the importance of the influence of a godly mother. And if it's missing in so many homes today, and it's just, there's so much broken in our society because of that missing piece, that gaping hole in the fabric. It's God's plan for mother and father to live together and function as a family unit, and that's constantly under attack. And Satan is out to destroy everything that God has created for good. Talked about that a little bit already this morning. And you don't have to look around very far to see these wrecks all around us. But what most of us have experienced, a father and a mother, the tremendous blessing that we never want to take for granted. So for a text verse this morning, open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. It may seem like a little bit of a strange place to start a Mother's Day message, but as I thought about motherhood this morning, this verse caught my attention. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 1. If you remember, this book is addressed to the church at Ephesus. And if you remember Brother Kinley Coulter's teaching on this, Paul spends the first three chapters, it wasn't divided into chapters, but the first part of this book, reminding us of what all God has done for us. And then we get to chapter 4, he said it was the tipping point or the center point in the book. And then the rest of the book is going to explain how we should respond to what God has done for us. So verse chapter 4 is where our part starts. And verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And the word vocation is what caught my attention there. Paul is beseeching, or he's calling near or inviting the reader to walk or to live, is what that word means. Worthy means appropriately. And then the word vocation is calling. Now, obviously in this context, he was talking to the church about their spiritual walk and their spiritual life. But this morning, I want to think about the vocation of motherhood. It's not a hobby. It's not a job. It's a vocation. Motherhood is a vocation. And for a title this morning, I'd like to use the vocation of a mother, the calling of a mother. We have different callings on our life. God speaks in many different ways and calls us to many different works. But this morning, as mothers, you are called to the work of being a mother. And vocation we often think of as an occupation, and there are aspects of that that are true. But this morning, I'd like to think about this idea of God calling women to be mothers. So we want to spend some time looking at the vocation and then the responsibility and then the blessings of that, so we can break the message into maybe three different parts. This responsibility that God has given to you all, and it's a gift. I want to highlight that this morning. So let's turn back to Genesis just to remind ourselves of the God's plan for the family. Genesis chapter 1, we'll read verse 26. These are familiar verses to us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And verse 28, and God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Then over in chapter 2, verse 18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him." And we know the story here, how God took a rib out of Adam, caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and God took a rib out, and he made woman. Verse 23, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Then turn over to chapter 3 and verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. So these scriptures that I just read this morning are the very foundation for God's plan for the family. God created male and female, and he gave them specific direction to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth. And in creation, God gave man and woman two very distinct roles. So he placed Adam in the garden for him to care and to keep the garden and to have dominion over that, of course, included woman. But then God created woman to be a help to Adam. And he gave a unique set of gifts and responsibilities to the woman. And we see that in verse 20 of chapter 3 with the name that Adam gave his wife. His wife's name was Eve, because she was the mother of all living. God gave the distinct responsibility to the woman to be able to bring life into this world. Men are the problem solvers and the conquerors. They're the ones who go out and subdue the earth and have dominion over it. And women have the gift and the ability to nurture and to give life and to be a helper to man and to be a blessing to him. And you see this in all ages, in all people groups. I'm just amazed by going and seeing Eastern culture and the thread of motherhood that just runs straight through humanity. There's moms, often young, over in Bangladesh who have children, and you all have that unique gift and ability. And you see this God or Adam calling his wife's name Eve even before she had children, it would seem here. He gave her the name of life giver, this ability to nurture and to give life that's built in. And there's such a dignity that comes in filling this role that God has given to you as a woman. It's so sad to see in our world today the person who's to be the life giver is the one who can choose to have this life taken and get it out of the way so that they can go on with life as they have planned. It's such a sad thing. And when this happens, there's such a loss of dignity. There's such a loss of who that person is, this wound that goes deep into their heart when this happens. It's such a tragedy. And we see this happening all around us today. Women trading their God-given ability and gift for a path that they choose a path that they want. And this morning we're here to encourage and to elevate the vocation of motherhood. We want to promote God's way this morning. Sometimes if you're filling out paperwork, you have to put down your occupation. And sometimes my wife will put down stay-at-home mom. And I hope you all don't do that with a shame or any kind of reproach. That is your calling. That is God's plan for you to be mom. And it's the highest calling, and it's partnering with God in a special way. I want to lift that up this morning. With that calling comes a responsibility, though. We're going to spend a few minutes looking at that responsibility. First responsibility I'd like to highlight is the responsibility of motherhood. In motherhood is raising children who are a service to the kingdom. Now, I thought about Hannah in 1 Samuel. We're not going to read the whole story, but if you want to turn there and just look at a couple verses, 1 Samuel chapter 1, the story of Hannah and her quest for a child, her request to God for a child. In this story, there's a man named Elkanah, and he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had many children, but Hannah had none. We remember that from the story. And this was a tremendous hardship for Hannah. She longed to have children, especially when Peninnah would rub it in her face that there was something wrong with her because she wasn't able to have children and she had no children. And every year they would go up to the temple to worship. And Hannah would go up alone because she had no children. And this particular story here, Hannah, this particular year, Hannah poured out her soul to God. And she requests a child of God. If you read verse 11, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, she pours out her soul to God and she makes a vow. Verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Let's skip down and read to verse 26 through 28. This is after she had Samuel. She had brought him home, raised him. It says that she had weaned him. She was bringing him back. She was fulfilling her vow and bringing him back to the temple. Verse 26, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. She's talking to Eli the priest. And Eli had accused her of being a drunk woman when she was pouring out her soul to God. And she's coming back to the temple with Samuel. And she says, I'm the woman that you thought was drunk. Verse 27, for this child I prayed, the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth, and he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. God granted this woman's request, and she raised Samuel with the sole purpose of bringing him back to the temple and giving him back to God in service. As a parent, I can't even imagine doing this, and I'm sure as a mother, it would be hard to wrap your mind doing this as well. But Hannah was keeping her commitment to God. She had made a request to God. She had made a vow to God that if I am given a child, this is what I will do. And she fulfilled that. And her sole purpose in raising Samuel was for him to come back and live at the temple, be an assistant to Levi, and to serve in the temple. I raise the question to us as we are raising children. What is our purpose in raising children? I hope that a purpose that we can have is raising them to be servants in Christ's kingdom. Are we raising them with that consciousness of God's? We know later in Samuel's story that God spoke to him and he was able to hear God's voice speak to him. And he was ready to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That was his response when God called him. A responsibility of motherhood is to raise children who are pillars in the kingdom of God, who are servants in God's kingdom, that can do his work. It starts when they're little. It's It's a responsibility of motherhood. Number two, a responsibility of motherhood is to influence the generations. I'm not going to turn there, but there's a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also." This is Paul talking to Timothy, and he's recounting the generations of women in his life that had influenced him. Mothers have a tremendous influence on who we are and the choices we make. Think back to the story of Jochebed, which is Moses' mother. They're in Exodus 2. She gave birth to this baby boy, and Pharaoh had said that all the male babies should be killed. And Moses' mother, she saw this was a goodly child, and she put him in that basket and placed him in the river to save his life. We can't even imagine doing this to our child, but we know how the story worked out. God had a plan, and God spared Moses' life. We know the Pharaoh's daughter found the baby, and sooner rather than later, he was back in his mother's arms. And Jochebed had this short time to influence Moses' life. And she obviously did that. She taught him the ways of God. Because as he grew up and became a man, he made choices that reflected his early years. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Moses came to a crossroads in his life, and he had a foundation that when he got to that point, he had the teaching to choose the path of God, to choose the path of being with God's people. And I'm sure that was influenced greatly by his mother as a young child, as she cared for him and realized that he was soon going to be going to live with Pharaoh's daughter, and she was going to be his son. I'm sure she was diligent in teaching him the things of God. Moses was going to be bombarded with the pleasures of Egypt, and she had him fortified and ready for that. Thought about the verse in Psalm 127, verse 4 says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth." Children, we have such a short time to influence and to teach and to train, but those things stick with them for a lifetime. Give you that as an encouragement to you mothers. Number three, you're called to love your family. Very obvious point, but let's turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, we'll read verse 3 and 4. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Paul's instructing how the church should function, and he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands and to love their children." Why would Paul feel it necessary that Timothy give this instruction that the older women teach the younger women to love their families? Maybe moms could tell us more about that. But I think the point that I take from that is love needs to be the motivating factor for the work and the time you pour into your children. If it's a duty, if it's something you do out of obligation, yes, there's times that it will need to be that. The laundry just needs done, or the clothes just need folded. But there's love. If motherhood is a vocation, then I think love is going to be the motivating factor. There's love that pushes us through those difficult times and gives you strength for those sleepless nights and those times when the list seems tremendously long. It's love that pushes us through those points. Find ways to show your family that you love them. And I know you do. I want to encourage you in that. Little things that can let your children know that they're loved gives them that foundation for life. And they feel that security that mom loves me. They know they can go to mom because mom is going to understand. Mom cares. A few weeks ago, I was up at a court hearing, and there was a young man there, and it was obvious his mom was sitting beside him. And she was sitting there, and I could tell she wasn't particularly pleased to be there, but it was obvious that this was her son, and she was there to support him and to be there for him, show that love and commitment. And that stood out to me in that situation. But Timothy was instructed here to instruct the older women to teach the younger women to love their family, love their husbands, love their children. Verse 5 says, to be discreet, chaste, teachers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Number 4, in the vocation of motherhood, you're to be keepers at home. And we often read this and understand it as a married woman is to stay home and not have a career. And I think this verse does teach that, but the first definition that Strong's has for the word keep is to guard and to protect. And that's a responsibility of mothers, is to be on guard in your home. Of course, dads, it doesn't excuse us. We're to be the leaders in that. But mothers guard the home. Satan is constantly trying to attack the home, and mom needs to be on guard for that. And I think God has given moms a extra perceptiveness in picking up on things. Us men, we can get kind of caught in the weeds of day-to-day life, and mom can point out and say, hey, did you see this? Or this needs taken care of. We need to get on top of this. Moms are on guard. I know my wife picks up on things that I would have totally missed. But mom uses this gift to guard your home. Protect the innocence of your children. We live in this world of bombardment. And it's a responsibility to make the home a place of safety and protection. A place where purity and holiness are taught and expected. Obviously, dads, we have our duty here as well. But mothers are to be keepers of home, guarders of the home, and to protect it. Number 5, moms are called to guard the house. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. Again, Paul is writing to Timothy. It says, I will therefore that young women marry, bear children, guide the house, and give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. The phrase that caught my eye here is guide the house. There's so much wrapped up in this little phrase of guiding the house. Guide the house there means to be head of the family, obviously under the husband. But the title manager would also fit here as well. Dad has the final authority, but mom is the one who makes things happen inside the home. She has the schedule of whose turn it is to feed the rabbits and whose turn it is to clear the dishes off the table and when spring cleaning is going to happen and the grocery list and the meal plans. And she's the one who makes the budget money last till the end of the month. She's the one who knows who needs new shoes and the one who needs new pajamas or whatever it may be. That's mom's role. She's the one who sees that need and recognizes it and puts a plan in place to take care of that need. Proverbs 31 verse 27 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. I thought of the woman of Shunem. We call her the Shunammite woman. She was the one who saw Elisha go past her house. And she saw and invited him in. And then as he came in and enjoyed a meal, she perceived the need that he could really use a place to stay, a place to find some refreshment. And she put a plan in place to, she told her husband, let's add a little piece on to the side of the house that Elisha can come and stay at our place. Just providing a meal wasn't enough for this woman. She wanted to do more. And she discussed this need with her husband, and they added this room on, and then she made it comfortable for him. She got a bed, and she got a table and a candle. She put those things in that room so that when Elisha passed by there, he could turn in and he could be refreshed. This woman had a vision. She had a plan, and she put the plan together and made it happen. She made her home a place of welcome and rest for Elijah. As I think about our home, moms are a large part of what determines the environment at home. Is there chaos, or is it a place of peace and rest? It's not that everything has to be perfectly in its place all the time, but that there's an atmosphere that the fruit of the Spirit is present here in this home. That there's peace, not chaos. I know when I go across these different responsibilities of motherhood, I hope I'm encouraging you and not discouraging you, because there's a saying, the saying goes, a man's work is from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done. I know motherhood is a lot of work, and there's a lot of responsibility. But as I think about the long-reaching effects of the work of a mother, directing eternal souls, it's a God-sized project. It's something that we partner with, obviously, your husband and, of course, God in carrying these things out. Number five, pray for your family. I know time is a precious resource for mothers, but I encourage you not to neglect this important work of praying for your family. Pray for your husband, the needs he faces at work. I know my wife prays for me, and that's a huge encouragement to me in my day-to-day work. But pray for your children. There's a time for teaching and direct influence, but there's also a time for prayer. Just pray for them, the things that they face. Teach them that we can pray about anything. They can come to us and come to you and pray about the scratched knee or the lost toy or whatever it may be. You can teach a lot about prayer in those little moments that happen spur of the moment. It teaches them to turn to God in time of need. You can pray for your children aloud and in front of them and tell them that you pray for them. It teaches them about a relationship with the Heavenly Father that they will desire when they reach that age. I know I was blessed with a mother who prayed for me and still prays for me. It's a huge blessing in my life. Motherhood is a vocation. It's also a divine partnership. It's a partnership with God in bringing life into this world. And I thought about Hagar there. She was in a situation. She was out in the desert. She didn't know what to do. They were out of water. She was there with her child. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto her and ministered to her needs in that situation. We could look at many different mothers where God provided for them in their need. Thought about the story in 1 Kings 17 where Elisha came to the widow's house to be cared for. And she said, well, I'm just here gathering a few sticks for our last meal for me and my son. You think about a mother in a situation where she's at the end of the barrel. There's nothing left past this meal. And this man comes along and asks for that last food for her and her child. And she perceives this to be a man of God. And in faith, she makes a cake first and gives it to him. And then there was enough for her and her child. And how God continued to meet that need until the famine ended. Being a mother is a divine partnership when we work together with Him. like to look at the blessings of following God's call in his vocation for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses have encouraged me. Verse 8. Well, let's start reading in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now understand, this verse is given in context of giving in many different ways. But as I thought about it in the context of motherhood as a vocation, motherhood is a lot about giving, just continuing to give and to give and to give. And sometimes you may wonder if you have anything else to give. But verse 8 is a promise. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. In short, I take that to mean God makes you rich. When you feel like you've spent everything that you can expend, then God helps you to reach around. So I give that as an encouragement to you mothers as well. We're going to think a little bit about the rewards of motherhood. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 31, and I know a lot of women groan when we look at this chapter, but I'd like to look at the last couple verses of this chapter as the blessings that come from to those who fulfill the vocation of motherhood. Proverbs chapter 31, I want to read verse 28 through 31. It says, her children will rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So earlier in this chapter, there's some pretty lofty achievements. And maybe you read over this chapter and you just feel like, well, I would just never measure up to the woman that's portrayed here in Proverbs 31. But I want to give these last few verses here as an encouragement to you. In verse 28, there's little that can be compared to the accomplishment of children who grow up and look up to their mother with respect and honor. That's a tremendous accomplishment as a mother. Verse 29 says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Men, boys, it's okay to think that your mom or your wife is the best. It says that she excelleth them all. We can give our moms that encouragement all year, but today especially. Tell your mom how much you appreciate what she's done for her, for you. Husbands, let's thank our wives for all they do in raising our family. And tell them the things that we appreciate about them. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. There's an honor that goes with a godly woman. And I want to encourage you as moms in that. It's very honorable to be a mom that fears the Lord. In verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. The work of a godly woman speaks to the world. That's what this thought is here of in the gates, in the city, those who are passing by. It speaks to the world around. Those are the blessings that come from persevering and following God's plan in the vocation of motherhood. Just a closing thought here. The vocation of motherhood, it's a calling. It's something that God asks of us. But that's where fulfillment is. It's just like other places in the kingdom of God. When we give up, that's where we find true fulfillment. Matthew 10, verse 39 says, "He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." So as we raise children, as we commit to that work, as we give ourselves to that, that's where we find life and fulfillment, and we can be a blessing to those around us. So mothers, this morning, God bless you in your vocation. God bless you as you continue on in your work, and God give you strength for the many particular challenges that you face, and God give you strength for that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this another beautiful morning you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for our mothers who have cared for us on many days, but today, being Mother's Day, we especially thank you for the gift of godly parents, godly mothers. Just want to bless each mother and woman in this congregation. Just pray that you help them in the very tiring work of caring for small children and raising them up to be pillars in your kingdom. Lord, just thank you for the work that women have done in this, and just bless them for that. Lord, just pray that you continue to raise up generations of godly women who are stepping into the roles that you have planned for them, and to carry out your kingdom here on earth. Lord, we just pray for those who long to have children, who you have not chosen to bless them with them. Pray you bless them today and fill that spot in their hearts. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be mindful of those around us. Lord, just pray for the many people who do not have a godly mother, who are maybe their mother has passed on or they've never had a mother. Just pray that you would comfort them in a special way as well. Go with us today and give us strength. We ask in Jesus' name.